Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, back with science journalist Robert Zimmerman. Robert, let's talk a little bit more about COVID, then move on to some space issues, of course. So your thoughts on COVID, hysteria made up. What's the intent? Is this? I have heard a lot of stories about this.
Well, I want to emphasize something I was trying to say just when we cut. You don't want to have lots and lots of people die from this thing, so you don't. You do take it seriously. And the one thing you do is you focus on where the threat is worst, and that's what these people did not do. They put Andrew Cuomo mandated that sick people had to be brought back to nursing homes where there were vulnerable people. You do the opposite. You protect them so they don't get hurt by it, and we didn't do that. So what did we do instead? What these politicians have done is take advantage of this panic, which they helped instigate, to gain power. And they have now set the precedent that they can, with an edict, put everyone in the United States under house arrest. Governors, mostly governors. They can put everyone under house arrest. They can force you to wear a mask. There are no standards for the masks. I've researched this. It's probably unhealthy.
I'm not sure they work
the way most people do. And this is despicable. It is a power grab. That's the sum total of it. And you can tell how much of a power, it is by the arbitrary nature of the closures. In New York State, religious organizations can't meet. Jews cannot worship at their synagogues or teach their kids. But it's okay for a Black Lives Matter protest of 100,000 people to gather packed on a street. That just indicates an arbitrary nature. It means it's a power game, and that's all it is. And that's where it's coming from. And unfortunately, Americans don't seem to care that their freedoms are being destroyed right now. And they are being destroyed. There's no doubt about it.
Because when you scare them, Robert, they will follow you.
Well, remember the last line in the Star Spangled Banner, land, home of the brave, land of the free? Well, you cannot have freedom without courage. If you are not brave and you're willing to be scared and allow fear to, you know, the only thing to have is fear, fear is fear itself. If you allow fear to dominate you, then you cannot be a free person. And I am not going to live in fear. I'm going to live as a brave American free. And I'm disgusted by the fear that I see radiating from everybody for something that, once again, the stats, even in their worst scenario, makes it nothing more than a slightly worse flu season. Well, the worst flu season we've had maybe in 50, since the 1969 Hong Kong flu.
I've heard some people say the COVID-19 will go away after November 3rd. That's the election.
Like many other of these kind of things, yes. A lot of this has to do with the hysteria on the left about Trump. They don't like the fact that that he's in power, and they just don't like it. And they've been going nuts for 4 years about this, 3 years, and they keep piling on with something new every time. And, you know, it's not entirely partisan, because there are also Republicans playing this game because they want the power. It's not totally public.
No, you're right. You're right.
So anyway, let's talk about space, which is the positive thing that's been going on in the last few months. Despite the hysteria, it's positive.
What do you think of the privatization of space?
Well, this is something I've been writing about for decades. And they're basically, I wrote a policy paper in 2017 called Capitalism in Space. And it was a policy paper for Washington Think Tank that was basically distributed throughout the D.C. area. And what has essentially been happening over the last 3 years, especially within the Trump administration, is they are embracing the basic ideas that I suggested. And I'm not the only one that's been suggesting it, so it's not just me. But the basic idea is that NASA doesn't build anything. NASA is a customer that has a need. The United States has a need to have a presence in space. And so what the American dream and the American way of doing things is the government is a customer. It is a servant to the people. When it needs something done, it doesn't build it itself. It hires Americans to do it for them. You hire private companies, which will then own what they build and be able to sell it to others as a customer, as a product. And so the Trump administration has been steadily transitioning to that model. It is a transition that began with the Obama administration. This is not partisan. Obama administration pushed hard for its 8 years to commercialize space, to take it out of NASA's hands, the construction of spacecraft. And that's why it was the Trump administration could accelerate it so well. And that's why, just a month or so ago, a private company launched a private Americanly built capsule on an American rocket from American soil to put two astronauts into space successfully, and they're still up there a month later. The capsule is doing great. And they built that capsule, the Dragon capsule from SpaceX. They built it for a tenth of what NASA has cost over the years, and in no time at all compared to what NASA.
Right, and they probably used some of the ex-NASA employees to build it.
No, absolutely not. Very little. Very few people.
Well, where'd they get the brain power?
Very few people at SpaceX come out of NASA, and the reason is because NASA teaches bad lessons. If you worked at NASA, you don't think the way you need to think to work for a private company. You work slow, you work careful, you make a lot of models, you don't cut metal, you're conservative in terms of how you design things. The way SpaceX works, and one of the astronauts on the mission, I think it was Bob Beneke, said the thing that makes this struck him about SpaceX is its agility. They change. They rethink. They don't get married to any idea, and they can change it on a dime. They accept error. They accept failure. They blow things up to learn how to build it right. That's something NASA does not do. And so very few engineers at SpaceX came out of the NASA.
Well, where'd they get the brain power so quickly?
Well, there are plenty of smart people in the United States. Remember, Elon Musk, who founded the company, came out of PayPal. That's how he made his
business. He put a rocket company together in how many years?
Very few years.
Yeah.
He started this idea in about 2004. He was launching his first Falcon 9 rocket and capsule in 2010. In only a decade, the Falcon 9 rocket has gone from nothing to now the most used operational American rocket. It's bypassed the Atlas V. It's just the most recent launch. And so what he did was he went and looked for young, smart people who wanted to do this work but were not bogged down with the old bad ideas. Remember, for 50 years, I was told by NASA engineers, NASA management, big management at the big companies like Boeing and Lockheed, the launch companies, it was impossible to reuse a first stage. You couldn't land it vertically. It wasn't possible. If you did, you wouldn't have enough fuel to get your capsule into your payload into orbit. And even if you could, when it landed, it would not be usable to use again. They said it was impossible. They didn't even try. Well, they're lying. Or they were just simply not capable of thinking outside the box to innovate.
Or both.
And so this is why SpaceX has succeeded. He went with young people and open-minded and innovative, and that's why they're successful.
Beneke was one of those who did the spacewalk today.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, they are changing batteries on ISS, and this mission was originally only supposed to be a week long. Initially, it was only supposed to be a demo. They go up, they show it can work, they stay for a week, and the astronauts come down. But in the last 6 months, NASA decided, you know what, maybe we can make it a little longer. And when they launched, they said it was going to be anywhere from 1 to 3 months. And now it's going to be an almost three-month-long mission. Basically, it's not a demo. It's basically an operational mission. Because they realized, you know what? Private enterprise does it better than big space, governmentally funded operations. SpaceX has high standards. It wants to meet those standards, and it does it repeatedly. Because what it's doing is it's trying to win customers. And the only way you win customers is you produce a good product that's reliable and that's inexpensive. And that's exactly what they've done. They have reduced the cost to launch from what was routinely $1 to $250 million per launch to now less than $50 million. They probably actually are much cheaper than that, but they don't have to be cheaper because nobody else can even match that price.
How far advanced is SpaceX from Jeff Bezos' company, for example?
Oh, far advanced. Bezos has been very disappointing me for the last 2 years. He's proposed to do some of the same things, but he decided to wed his company to the government and the military, and so he's building his rocket to their specifications, which immediately slowed down production by a year, and he has not produced. You know, he was flying the new Shepard suborbital craft for the first time 3 years ago, and they said they were going to be starting to launch people on it within months, and that's 3 years ago, and they haven't done it yet. And so I've been very disappointed with Jeff Bezos. SpaceX is doing something right now that is even more revolutionary. I don't know if you've talked about it on your show, but they have something called Starship. And Starship is the second stage, but can also be used from the ground. And Super Heavy will be the first stage. And basically what it is going to be is an entirely reusable rocket. But not only that, it's going to have the capabilities of superior to a Saturn V rocket. So not only will they be able to put up payloads comparable to the Saturn V, but the rocket will come back down and be completely reusable. And they've been doing tests of Starship in Boca Chica, Texas, near Brownsville, the tip of Texas, for the last year. And in that time, they've built seven prototypes. They've blown up four of them. One of their early prototypes, Starhopper, they actually did a 500-meter, 1,500-foot vertical up and down. But they're blowing up their prototypes because they're trying to test the failure to figure out how to build it better. And they've got the fifth prototype right now on a test stand. They're doing more engine tests with it. If everything goes well, and I expect this time it will because the tests have so far worked out right, they're going to do a 500-meter, which is about 1,800-foot hop with that. And if that works, they're going to then move to a 12-mile hop. And if that works, they hope within a year to be orbital. Now, that doesn't mean there will be orbital in a year. These are tests. This is a development process. It might take longer. But considering the fact that they've only been started a year ago with actually cutting metal, they are going to be they will be flying this thing probably within 4 or 5 years.
That's amazing.
And that, you know, compare that to NASA's Space Launch System, which they started in 2004, and it will not have its first manned mission until 2024. That means 20 years to do a single mission, and it'll cost them almost $60 billion. It's going to cost SpaceX about $2 billion to develop Starship.
Several months ago, I got a call during Open Lines. Robert, someone said, I saw a whole string of UFOs in the sky. And I'm going, what the heck was that? Well, I found out it's Elon Musk's link of all those satellites he sends up.
He's launching something called Starlink. And it's going to be a constellation of satellites that could be in the in over like 8,000 satellites, but they hope to have enough launched, something like 1,000 by the end of this year, and it will be offering worldwide internet capabilities to the world. And they are using their Falcon 9 rocket and its reused first stages to launch it, which means it costs them practically nothing to get these rockets up, these satellites up. And so he is going to be in the position to offer everybody internet service, probably at a cheaper rate than your Comcast or your Verizon.
Just amazing.
Or your CenturyLink is offering. And it will be something that will work anywhere you go. And so that's, once again, he's just doing smart business. He's offering a product that will be superior to others for less cost. And, you know, it's all smart business. And he hopes to use the profits from Starlink to help fund a Starship, which he is offering to NASA as a product to get people to the moon. He's also using it to maybe get himself to Mars, to build his own Mars colony.
How far advanced is he from most countries who are trying to develop a space program?
Right now, there is nobody, no company, no private company, no nation that is even close to what SpaceX is doing. I would say the closest country to what SpaceX is doing right now would be China, because China, first of all, China steals the ideas from us and then upgrades them.
Right.
And they've been very aggressive about doing that, stealing it, but then they do upgrade it. And so when they saw first stages being landed,
they reverse engineer it, don't they?
The grid fins, and they've been trying to control landings, and they kind of think about trying to get first stages to land vertically, and I'm sure some of it's been stolen from SpaceX. So China's the closest. In terms of the United States, private companies, all the private companies are not being very competitive. They're not innovative enough. They've been slow. What's been competitive has been the newer companies that are coming along, something like Rocket Lab, which is a small company, small rockets, but they're very close to already being able to reuse their first stages. Very quickly, they adapted and are thinking about how to do it.
And I had heard that Tesla Motors, which Elon Musk owns a lot of, has surpassed Toyota in terms of size. Can you believe that?
I'm not as enthusiastic about Tesla as I am about SpaceX. There are certain issues there that are complicated.
But he seems to succeed at everything he touches.
Well, there was a great video I put on my website, Behind the Black, which, by the way, is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary, Robert.
That's right. I'm having a fundraiser, in fact, this month asking donations to keep me going. But it is the 10th anniversary. I've been doing this for 10 years. Hard to believe. I've had almost 1,000 essays, 22,000 posts. But anyway, I posted this video where Elon Musk was interviewed, and what he said was that, this is a quote, if someone came to you to tell you that what you've designed is a bad design and I have a better idea, you would be insane not to listen.
Exactly.
And that's what makes him good. He's
a good manager will listen.
That's right. He will listen, and he changes. His designs get one of the reasons they're doing these tests with Starship is because they want to find out what works, and they're changing design as they go aggressively so they can get it to be the best it can possibly be. And that's why he succeeds.
Good point. Since you've been doing this, and like you say, you've been doing it at least 10 years.
Oh, well, I've been a writer
for longer than that.
Almost 30 years, space historian. You know, I've got lots of books that are available on the history of space, and I have written the book on the Apollo 8 mission. I've written the book on the history of the Hubble Space Telescope, and I've written the book on the history of space, manned space post-Apollo. And those are all on my website. But, you know, 10 years ago, I needed a website where no one could stop me. I could write whatever I wanted freely, because I've been very frustrated over many years how editorial departments in magazines and among publishers repeatedly tried to make their opinions my opinions, and they would not allow me to speak my mind. And so I made my webpage. And so Behind the Black's been here for 10 years, and I get to say what I want. If I want to write an essay today, I write it, and it's published today. I don't have to go through an editorial process. It would be nice to have copy editors, but I don't have the money yet to afford that, because I make typos all the time, and my readers are my copy editors. They tell me about typos, and I fix them. But I get to write what I want, and so for that reason, for the last decade, I've been doing this. And the website's growing exponentially. It really is, and the donations come in surprising how many. People don't have to give me any money, but they want to, because they want to support what I'm doing.
It's amazing that we are approaching this month 51 years since we first landed on the moon with a man.
Yeah.
51 years. That's half a century.
Half a century. And it's a disgrace that it's half a century and we have not been back. And even more important,
why did we stop?
Well, we stopped because we decided, and this is what I talked about at length in my book on the Apollo 8 mission that orbited the moon on Christmas Eve, Genesis story of Apollo 8. We took the wrong lessons from the space race. We went into the space race, as Kennedy said, to prove that a free people could do it better. But we copied the Soviet Union by creating a program run by the government from on top.
And then stopped.
And we've been copying that model for the last 40 years, and it's only in the last decade that we're starting to abandon that model and allow, instead of a space program, a chaotic space industry of many different companies and people following their individual dreams with no government decision on how it should be operated. By having a government command control on top, nothing gets done.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.